What if you could measure your employer brand as a single number? What if you could track it over time? We do that. It's called the Employer Brand Index. Continuously measuring what's positive and negative about you as an employer from a candidate perspective is the key. The Employer Brand Index helps you measure your employer brand and validates your perceptions or draw up a few surprises, both good and bad. The Employer Brand Index works best when done over time to see how things are changing. Some companies use it as a baseline before they launch their EVP. Others add in some talent competitors to see how they stack up. Stay on top of your employer brand. Go to employerbrandindex.co to learn more.
Hey, Sansevesa! It's Jürgen Sundberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast, brought to you by your friends here at Link Humans, where we do data-driven employer branding. Now, do you enjoy doing your taxes? Perhaps you have a company doing it on your behalf? Well, today we're going to speak to such a company and really try to understand what it's like to work there, what the employer brand is all about. So let's start the show. Hey, Danielle, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm fantastic. So please let our listeners know who you are, what you do, and what brings you on the podcast today.
Absolutely. So I am Danielle Hilton. I'm Recruitment Marketing Manager here at H&R Block. And I joined our talent acquisition team about a year and a half ago. And within that time frame, I have gone on a journey of developing our employer brand and our EVP. And I want to share a little bit about that journey with the listeners and just share some of the learnings and the passion that I have for employer branding.
Fantastic. So you're on the right podcast, in other words. Right. So first of all, what is H&R Block for those who haven't seen the company or heard of the brand?
Yeah, so within the United States, we have high brand recognition. But for those listeners that are out of the United States, I'll share that we are a assisted tax prep company. We were established in 1955 by brothers Henry and Richard Block. So hence H&R Block. And they actually established the tax prep industry. So that's what we do. And we have about 12,000 offices, both company owned and franchise owned. We do a lot of hiring, especially since we have a seasonal business. We hire about 80 to 100,000 associates each year.
Wow. Okay. So I did not know that about H&R. That's a good story there. And I have a friend who's Canadian. He tells me that H&R Block is in some place in Canada as well.
That's right. So we do have a presence in Canada, Australia, and India as well.
Ah, okay. Well, I think you should make it over to the UK as well, because I certainly don't like doing my own taxes. It's interesting, during tax season, the company sort of swells a bit. You get all these associates on board for, is it one quarter, sort of 4 or 5 months of the year, and then you're back to a smaller size? Explain how that works.
Yeah. So the tax season is from January to April. So we do swell within those months, but we also bring associates on beforehand to make sure that we're prepared for the tax season. But yes, you're absolutely right. We have a large volume of associates that are seasonal. So as I mentioned, that 80 to 100,000, those are typically seasonal associates that are onboarded for the season. And then we do offboard them at the end of the year or the end of the season. A lot of those associates do return. So we want to make sure that they have a positive experience and look forward to rejoining us for the next season. We also have a lot of full-time roles as well. So that's something that people don't necessarily think about when they think of H&R Block. They think tax. But as I mentioned, brothers Henry and Richard Block, they established the company and we're actually headquartered in Kansas City, Missouri. That's where they founded us. That's where we stay. We have deep roots here in the Kansas City area. And we do have our corporate headquarters there where we have up to 2,000 associates during season, but then we also maintain full-time associates in different business departments everywhere from HR to marketing and IT. So while most people think tax when they do think H&R Block, we have so many different career paths and full-time associates that we need to support the business and prepare for tax season throughout the year as well.
This is a really interesting company, I think. And what is some of the main talent challenges that you're faced with?
You can imagine that hiring 80 to 100,000 associates, just the sheer volume faces its own challenges. Yeah. We have to make sure that we have infrastructure in place and strategies in place to be able to do that each year. So we do rely heavily on our field leaders. For all of the offices, they do the hiring and the recruiting. So they don't always have, they don't have that full-time recruiter hat on. So it's really important that from the center, we provide them with those strategies and those resources that they can then apply in their region. So that's one of the challenges that we face, just going through our employer brand process, where we want to make sure that anything that we create, they can take that and then apply it so that their candidates have a good experience and their associates do as well. And then also, as I mentioned, with we're a brand that is synonymous with tax. So not everyone thinks about those other roles and those career paths that we have. So getting people to think about the need that we have for IT and other roles is very important. IT specifically, our team does incredible work. They do very cool things from everything from creating software and creating apps and so on. IT is really important for us, which I know a lot of companies do need IT, but for us, it's getting those folks to think about that when they think H&R Block.
I mean, from a consumer perspective, it's great to be associated with tax. From an employer brand perspective, perhaps it's a bit too much taxy.
Yeah, we absolutely want to be known for tax. Obviously, you know, our tax professionals, I would say, are the best in the business. So we want, we absolutely want consumers to think that and know that. But then also, we do need to attract many tax pros each season. So it's finding that balance is one of the challenges too.
Yeah, I mean, that's a common theme of people I interview on this podcast. So whether it's a bank or it's a manufacturing company that's saying, well, we also need tech talent. So we're known for this product or that service, which is great. But hey, we still need accountants.
Right.
Right. So tell me about talent brand or employer brand. What was the genesis of it at H&R Block? What's the driver behind it?
There were a few drivers behind it. So primarily is that we know that we have a strong consumer brand and we needed to develop an employer brand that was just as strong, because attracting and retaining our associates is just as important as attracting and retaining our clients. So just keeping up with the competitive talent market was one of the reasons why we really put emphasis behind this. But then we also have strategic initiatives within our organization. And one of those key initiatives is to elevate talent and culture. With those two things in mind, my role was created actually just about a year and a half ago. So as I mentioned, recruitment marketing manager, and that role didn't even exist before a year and a half ago. Once my role was created, we quickly got to work on both recruitment marketing, but the establishment of our employer brand as well.
I know you've been working this year and a half on a new EVP. Can you give us an insight into what this looks like and perhaps break it down for us?
Absolutely. So I'd love to share with you a little bit about our EVP, but first, kind of the journey of how we got there. It has been almost a year now. And actually, Jorgen, you and I met about a year ago when we started this process of establishing our employer brand and our EVP. So shortly after I joined, so I'm going to back it up just a little bit. Shortly after I joined, I mentioned that we got to work on our employer brand project. So one of the first things that I did was I created a very small but mighty working team. And we started measuring the current status of our employer brand. So as a listener of the Employer Branding podcast, I thought, well, what better measurement than to reach out to Link Humans to see if we can do the Employer Brand Index.
Yay.
So, So that's when I reached out through your website and actually got to talk directly with you. So you were fantastic to work with in that process, and your team did a great job of looking at our employer brand, on all channels externally. So everything from the insights from Glassdoor and Indeed and Fairy Godboss and all of the different sites where consumers can go out and leave reviews and share content about H&R Block as an employer. You do a fantastic job of gathering all of that for your client and then associating a score with it. So that score was really great for us, not only to have the aggregate score, so we can say this is our current state, this is our starting point, our benchmark for what our employer brand index is, so that EBI, and then we want to be able to see how we've moved the needle later on. But as I mentioned, that aggregate score was really fantastic, but then you also drilled down into the individual score of the 16 attributes of an employer brand. Yeah. So that was really insightful for us, where we could look at those 16 attributes and say, this is what we're good at. This is where we can improve. And then even taking it a step further and seeing the share of voice. So how much people are talking about each of those things. So one of our examples is that our, I believe it's corporate social responsibility. I think we had 100% score on that. And I know the scoring is actually 1 to 10.
It's 1 to 10.
The best.
Yes. Yeah. We've inverted the score a little bit, though. But it was a very good score, I remember. Yes.
Yeah. So we got a 1 on that. So the best score possible. And then looking at the share of voice, we found people aren't talking about it as much as they should be. But when they do, they're talking about it in a really great way. So one of the things that we pulled from our report is we need to really showcase that with our employer brand. This is something that we do really well. How can we highlight this? And then reversely, if there were things that we were finding not so great feedback on, we were able to drill down into, well, what are people saying? And can we move the needle on those things? And it really just helped us put those 16 attributes into perspective and really focus on the ones that were very important to us.
Great. I mean, that is the perfect application of the index. Thank you for saying that, Daniel.
Absolutely. We were really excited to get the scores back, and just having your team be able to do that legwork and do it so well was really fantastic, that we were able to use that measurement as one of the things going into our employer brand project. We also pulled some metrics of our own as well in the discovery phase. We actually ended up hiring an agency as well to provide us with support throughout our entire employer brand project, where they helped us also gather more insights. We've got a couple surveys that we put out, and that would be our associate engagement survey. So seeing how engaged with our employer brand our own associates are, as well as looking at our candidate experience survey.
Great.
Those were two other measurements, as well as the agency did a great job for us in gathering all of our touch points in the associate journey. So we looked at 5 stages of that associate journey, everything from attracting to engaging, converting, onboarding, and then retaining and growing. So we looked at that journey and all of those touch points, and we were able to see visually what we are, again, doing well and things that we could improve. And then we also did stakeholder interviews and just gathered as much data as we possibly could so that we could really get a good baseline of what our employer brand looks like before we then got to work on the creation of our employer brand and our EVP. And then now we're actually in the phase of activating that employer brand and EVP. That's almost a project in and of itself, but we're doing some exciting work with that too.
And what is the overall essence of the EVP? And also, how does it differ from the consumer messaging?
That's a really good question. I'm glad that you mentioned the consumer brand, because when we were developing our EVP, it was really important for us to ensure that it was rooted in the larger H&R Block brand and mm-hmm. aligned with the promise that we have for consumers, because we know that our employer brand is critical for supporting our overall company's vision. So we took the approach of looking at our EVP as not just a slogan or a tagline or a temporary campaign. We have several paragraphs where we actually look at this as a platform for inspiration for any creation of new materials for purpose of recruiting or speaking to our current associates. I'll share a little bit with you. So it starts off by saying, we believe in the power of people helping people, line by line and block by block. When you join our team, you'll add to the momentum of a forward-thinking company, one that defined an industry and is now leading its transformation. So I'll kind of pause there. Yep. This section is where it starts. And it was just really important to us because it nods to the innovation within H&R Block, but also giving our past the recognition that it deserves.
Mm.
So we wanted to make sure that our entire EVP and the platform was authentic to who we are now, as well as nods to the aspiration of where we're going.
Great.
Another section of our EVP that is probably one of my favorites, if not my favorite of the entire EVP, is that we take our work personally because we know what it represents. Families and homes, livelihoods and lives. So I love that so much because it really speaks to the purpose and the impact that we have on our clients. And no matter what role you have within H&R Block, you are impacting that end client, right? So I am not the tax professional sitting in front of someone and telling them if they're going to get a refund or not. But me personally, I did help get that tax professional in their seat by informing them of the job that was out there. So when they're sitting in front of a client and they're telling them that they're going to get a refund that year, it can make all of the difference in that person's life. It can mean the difference of a mom being able to buy new clothes for her kids, or it could be the difference in a family taking their dream vacation because they just now saved enough money. So for me, that part of our EVP is just really powerful and makes me realize we're doing great things and we really are impacting people's lives.
Fantastic. Love that. You mentioned about the activation, and I know you just about started the activation of perhaps internally even, but what does that look like, and how are we going to be seeing the H&R Block's employer brand in 2020?
So there's two ways that we're approaching the activation of our employer brand. So the first way is we're actually going internally. So looking at all of the groups within H&R Block that either touched materials in the recruiting process or touched materials that are associate facing. So we've kind of inventoried all of those either departments or groups within the organization. So that could be everything from our friends in marketing or learning and development. You know, they create content for everyone from tax pros to anyone within the organization that is doing anything with learning. And also our employee resource groups, right? So they communicate directly with our associates on an ongoing basis. So we go to them and we're informing them of this employer brand and the platform, as well as our EVP, and asking them to then keep that in mind and ensure that they're refreshing their materials with that EVP and tying it in as much as possible so that we're reinforcing our employer brand at all of the touch points within an associate journey. So that's one way. We're going on a road show where we're doing presentations for all of those key groups. And then nice. The second way is that we're looking at within talent acquisition, what are all of the touch points that we own and what touch points do we need to create? So we're starting by prioritizing our list based on the quantity. So how many people is this impacting, as well as the visibility of it? And then how much of an impact can it have on that candidate or associate journey? So we're looking at things like our new associate orientation. So what does the content look like on their first day. We're also looking at our associate referral program. We know that we need to create new videos and looking at our job boards and just online presence in general. And we are updating content across the entire journey of an associate. So we're definitely thick into the activation and have a long way to go, but it's really exciting to see this come to life.
Talk to us about measurements and what sort of metrics you look at to try and calculate the ROI on employer brand.
So I mentioned that we did the employer brand index at the very start of our project. We anticipate that we will look back at our employer brand index score once we have really applied or activated our EVP. So looking at that score from last year when we did it to, we'll probably do it again at a different time of year. So probably in the fall months, we'll look at our score to see how far we've moved the needle and then potentially repeating it again for the next year, because that would be the same time frame as our initial employer brand index benchmark score.
And then to look at it again with some intervals so that we can see how the needle has moved. Yeah.
Yeah, because we know that seasonality is so big for us that our score could potentially vary depending on time of year. So the initial score that we did was during tax season. We want to do another score at another time of year where we're not in the middle of tax season. We'll see if it's different and then we'll kind of just go from there. But we really do look at the employer brand index as being a score where we can use as a measurement of the ROI of our employer brand, as well as looking at different things of just our overall scores on platforms like Glassdoor, Indeed, the engagement that we have on those, as well as LinkedIn. We don't have other social channels open to us for recruiting purposes right now. That's kind of part of the activation of our employer brand, that we're trying to get those channels opened up to us just for as far as a conversation internally, as far as approvals go. But once we do have that available, we'll start looking at engagement on those sites, as well as looking at the engagement with things like email, as well as the number of applicants that are coming in to all of our jobs and the number of hires and time to fill. So your standard kind of recruitment marketing measurements.
So if you look back at your year and a half at H&R Block, what would be your top tips to other professionals in this space? And also, are there any pitfalls, anything you learned the hard way that they should try and avoid?
Sure. So this has been an incredible journey of developing our employer brand and our EVP here at H&R Block. So I do have some key learnings that I'd love to share. And one of those is just to stay connected within your organization. No matter the size of the organization that you're in, it's really important to get involved as much as possible and build those relationships so that you know what's going on. You can get a real sense of the culture. And I say that because for myself, I'm involved in our Women's Network Communications Committee. So I know deeply what's going on with them, as well as we have a kind of culture committee or culture crew. Sometimes we're called the fun group within the organization, but it was really created to drive culture and different initiatives and just get our associates involved. So I'm involved with that committee, which has been a really great experience. Again, just knowing what is going on throughout so that I can then pull content from my learnings in those groups and then even pull it into our recruitment marketing materials, the content that we put out on LinkedIn. It really just helps me keep a pulse on the organization, but then also drive content for recruitment purposes. And then another tip that I would say is that always think of your employer brand as an active project. To me, I think that your employer brand has to keep up with the true culture of your organization, as well as respond to both the internal as well as the external impacts. So don't just create your employer brand or an EVP and then activate it and then think that you're done. You know, don't wipe your hands clean of it and say, I did that, check the box, right? I think you need to nurture it. So if you don't think of yourself of being an employer brand project currently, change that frame of mind and always think of your employer brand as an active project. So if you've already done the steps of activating, just continue to evolve it and make sure that you're putting things into it so that you can get out what you need for your organization. And then my third tip is continue to learn. So the listeners of this podcast are doing that right now, right? If you're listening, you're learning, which is fantastic. So continue to do that. Continue to listen to podcasts or go to webinars. If you can, if your company can afford to do it, ask to go to conferences. Just continue to stay up to date on what's going on within the industry and just learn from your peers. Another one of the things that I do is, aside from doing those couple of things that I mentioned with podcasts, webinars, conference when I can, I'm also involved with a talent brand group within Facebook and on LinkedIn as well. So those are great resources. So if you ever have any questions or if you need immediate feedback from your peers, you can join a group like that and put a post out there and you get pretty good response really quickly. You know, we're kind of a family in this employer brand together. So I found that people are really willing to help one another and just want to stay up to date. So those would be my three tips.
Fantastic. Okay. Now, my final question for you, Danielle. Well, also actually penultimate question. What is it that drives you to do this very unique role inside H&R Block? What gets you up in the morning?
Probably what gets me up in the morning is just knowing that I do have an impact at the end of the day with our clients, as I mentioned before. But then also with employer branding, you are helping get jobs in front of people and can impact a decision that changes their entire life. We commit a large majority of time into our work and helping someone make the decision of where they're going to spend almost half of their waking hours is, I think, really impactful. And I just want to be able to show people that H&R Block is a great place to be. And that excites me. I like that.
Fantastic. Okay. Now, where would you like our listeners to go once they've listened to this episode? Where can they find you online or where can they learn more about the H&R Block?
So if you want to connect with me directly, I would say LinkedIn is probably the best place to do that. You can just look me up on LinkedIn. It's Danielle Hilton. And if you want to learn more about H&R Block, then I would say go to LinkedIn. You can also go to our website. While you're there, if you need any tax prep help this season, then you can also check out all of the ways that you can either schedule an appointment in an office or even just get help doing your own taxes at home.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Danielle. It's been super useful.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Okay, there you have it. So if you still have do your taxes, do your tax returns at the top of your to-do list, perhaps get in touch with Danielle or just go to the H&R Block website and I'm sure they can help you out there. And of course, if you'd like to subscribe to this podcast, feel free to do so in all the usual places, Spotify, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, etc. And you can also go to employerbrandingpodcast.com to get all those links. And if you, just like Danielle and H&R Block, would like to get some data-driven insights into your employer brand to really understand your reputation as an employer, broken down into 16 different areas, different attributes as we call them, then check out the Employer Brand Index, which is employerbrandindex.co. Or just reach out to me and I'll happily talk you through it. And that was it for this week. Good luck with your taxes and catch up with you next time. Hey-o.
Why did the golfer carry an extra pair of pants? In case he gets a hole in one.